Ladies and gentlemen,
you want experience during your football season? Well, buckle up, sweet cheeks.
That's all we need.
We've got all the experience in the world. This is I Want Your Flex with Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon. Mike and Dan break down everything you need to set your lineups. From position rankings to starts and sits, the guys help you make those hard decisions. And now, let's get your flex on. Here's Dan Beyer and Mike Harmon.
Week 3 is in the books. We'll look ahead to Week 4 of the National Football League. Hopefully your fantasy weekend was as good as what the Kansas City Chiefs had on Monday night in their epic showdown with the Baltimore Ravens that turned into anything but what a show. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs put on Mike in Baltimore on Monday to wrap up this Week 3.
Magnificent from pillar to post. This was like the prelim bum trying to step in with the heavyweight champion of the world is what it looked like. And if you followed social media during the game, we joked about it on air that the Chiefs made the Ravens at times look as though they were the New York Football Jets with the ineptitude and the epic beatdown that you watched rolling through. And it showed the gap. And I made the point of everybody trying to make the Mahomes-Jackson thing Brady Manning. Screw that. Jackson's got to win a damn game first. So throw that out the books, as much as we may like it. But it was just a clinic for the way the Chiefs' offense ran and just absolutely neutralized Wink Martindale's defense.
The scary thing, I think, is that there were teams that were entering Monday Night Football saying, I just need 22 points from Lamar Jackson. Yeah. They're playing the Chiefs. It's going to be a shootout. This thing is in the books. I'll watch it because it'll be fun to watch him gather the points. But when you only have 97 yards passing and you wouldn't get close to that 22 points if that's what you needed, I know it's a crushing loss for fantasy-wise if you were in that scenario. There's no reason to turn away from Lamar Jackson, but this is one of those nights where that live in fantasy lore. Like, remember when you just needed Lamar Jackson to throw for 100 yards and not, like, screw anything up? That's kind of what I felt tonight was, because I don't think anybody thought Lamar Jackson and what this game was expected to be and what we thought it would be to have Lamar Jackson not be able to break the century mark in passing yards. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, great scheme by the Kansas City defense, and certainly you got to give credit to the guys up front. They harassed him. Kept him on the move, and receiving was Brown and Edwards really not giving you much of anything. J.K. No. Dobbins, your leader, 4 catches, 38 yards. Who would have thunk it? From a game script, like, they ran the ball effectively on the first possession and then abandoned it, essentially. And even Lamar Jackson on design runs getting what he did, 9 for 83 on the night. They abandoned that. So just curiosities all around. And the script, you know, if you're an owner and you've invested in the Baltimore rushing attack, only 11 first half carries the last 2 weeks combined. And that's amongst all of those running backs. So a problem there. But to your point about Lamar Jackson, you thought by accident, especially once they got down as big as they did at halftime, that you'd at least get some garbage time points. Unfortunately, those didn't materialize.
If only J.K. Dobbins would have had those hands at the Fiesta Bowl, I'd maybe be a little bit happier man. Let's focus on the Chiefs just for a quick second. Just for the simple fact, Mike, do you now play Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman after what they did on Monday night? I mean, not that they were epic games, but when you think that Patrick Mahomes could do this on most weeks, is it worth playing those guys if you're in a desperate situation? Is it worth picking up those guys? How do you look at the ones outside of the Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and, as Steve Levy said, all night long, Clyde Edwards, E-Lair, all night long. But anyway, about Hardman and Watkins.
Also called Patrick Mahomes Pat. His mom was not happy. When we look at they have to be rostered, right? They should not be on the waiver wire in any leagues. Just because, especially in this year, 2020, right? unprecedented, chaotic things. Find me the $5 in the kangaroo court for saying unprecedented. But we've seen so many injuries pop up that in Kansas City, we know the way the offense works, and Eric Bieniemy doing a fantastic job with Andy Reid and bringing this to Mike Kafka, the QB coach, all of these things rolling forward, is that this offense isn't going to get bogged down. So if Tyreek Hill does have an issue where he's got to miss a game, you know Sammy Watkins can step in. Watch Mecole Hardman. Now, I hang a star on it because Baltimore got overly aggressive very early. I was like, this is going to bite them in the ass because you're just going to throw the ball over the top. And that's exactly what they did. All right, bring an extra man and go into man coverage against these guys? Are you kidding me? What are you thinking? It was one-on-one coverage downfield is not going to work. But Mecole Hardman, it was good to see him get to six targets because he's a guy been waiting to see him deployed the run under it. I mean, that's it. Patrick Mahomes, give him an extra second and let him run under it. So I think they need to be rostered. I don't know that they're every week playable just yet, but soon enough we may get ourselves into that point.
The game was a 34-20 contest, and I know people were hoping that maybe there would have been one more point in that game. It wasn't as close as the score even indicated. I mean, the Chiefs, you know, Harrison Butker had a tough night kicking, missing an extra point, missing a field goal at the end of the half. You had the fumble that turned things over for Kansas City.
Moving the ball, yeah.
Yeah, 34-20 was actually probably the best case scenario that the Ravens could have done on Monday night.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it is a concerning thing when you face this team. Here's the beauty of it. You're not facing this team again until the playoffs.
Yeah.
If you get there, whatever lineup constitution you have. But you know there is a big gap between what the Ravens are and the Chiefs. But that's football analysis. Fantasy, we're just worried about whether you get me some points. And the undercashed tonight, Harrison Butker, you let me down. That margin of victory is always something you want to make sure you got in tiebreakers. So losing those few points, I'm not happy with him. But watching the Chiefs take care of the Ravens. Remember, Dan, everybody said they, quote, wanted it more. And as The Rock said, it doesn't matter what you want.
We'll take week three. We'll lock it up. We'll put it on the shelf, and we'll look ahead to week four in just a minute. But I do have to make a PSA, public service announcement. And I think this is – there are commissioners throughout fantasy football, and – the commissioner role, Mike, has been lessened, I think, quite a bit because of the way that online leagues run. Mm-hmm. Basically, the commissioner is there to invite everybody. They sign up, and that's all they have to do. The site takes care of everything. But in the leagues that don't have that sort of setup and are still running it old school, it is imperative that every person in that league knows the rules or has the rules, because in my league for 22 or 23 years, there have been 20, it's our 23rd year, and there are four of us guys that have been in the league since day one. And some of us, I was on the wrong page with those guys on what the rules were, and now we're in a whole, it's not a whole fiasco, but the point is it shows you on just on what you thought. No, I thought we could do this. No, we changed that in 2004. We did this in 2016. It's just, if you're running a league, and even if you haven't done it yet, you can still do it now. You're only in 3 weeks. Just make sure everyone in your league knows your rules, knows your special rules, so it doesn't come back and bite you, because you know what? I may have learned the lesson the hard way just simply because me and some people are on a different page this week.
You know what's funny, though, Dan? We do this all the time, and we did it in the preview show of make sure you know the rules of your league, because it sounds dumb. Yeah. But things change over time. What's become a standard league is not what it was 5 to 10 years ago, right? Quarterback, QB, or QB passing touchdown adjustments or point per receptions or all of those things. And then you add the specialties, maybe some IDPs get into the mix, and it gets all crazy. I know you've got your sacred scrolls with the amendments written into there, but it is seems oversimplified. But it's true, because there's going to be those miscommunications or the one guy that just refuses to acknowledge that life moves on and it's actually 2020 and things have changed.
The worst part about it is it's the people who follow the rules that are the ones that are usually getting screwed by them, whereas the guy who has no idea what's going on, like, ignorance is bliss.
Sure.
And that sort of thing. Like, that's what you get with fantasy football. And it's just, it's so imperative. And I kind of want to hit some of those things in this podcast because it's stuff that we all go through. Now, not everybody's a commissioner, but if you aren't a commissioner and you're hearing this, you may realize some of the things that your commissioner is going through, or you may want to reach out and say, hey, you know, let's get these rules out there so everybody knows, or what is this clarification? Because it is much easier to deal with it between week 3 and 4 than weeks 13 and 14 when playoff spots are on the line.
Well, because also remember, you're going to get into tiebreakers, you're going to get into trades. Mm-hmm. How does your league handle trades? That's something that gets fought about every year as to how big a role the commissioner should have versus a vote versus, we're all consenting adults, so anything goes, right? And if you have that person looking to abandon the league, potential for chaos. So all of those things roll in, and we'll cover them over the next few weeks and try to give you some therapy sessions.
And if you have any questions, any issues, or thoughts that pop up, you can always tweet at us. You can get us on the podcast site on Twitter, at IWantYourFlex. You can get Mike on Twitter, at SwollenDome. I'm at Dan Beyer on Fox. The executive producer of the show is Lee DeLapp. And if you want Lee's opinion, get him on Twitter, at Lee DeLapp. Moving on to week 4, and you mentioned possible trades. I don't know if any quarterbacks are going to be traded, but there are quarterbacks on the move, some moving from the field to the bench, and the others moving from the bench into the starting lineup. Let's start in your hometown, the Chicago Bears, making the change official on Monday. Nick Foles is the starter in week 4 and beyond, according to Matt Nagy, as Mitchell Trubisky now is going to ride some pine.
Yeah, psychologically, I'm still trying to process this because I went back and I watched the game a second time on Monday morning, as I'm wont to do, go to the game pass and start going to town. And you know, for Trubisky through the first 2 weeks, there were balls that were a little bit high or a little bit behind, but catchable, right? One of those, all right, mm-hmm. I put it in your radius, make the catch. Didn't happen. The interception in the second half, unforgivable, was what they decided, and then they make the change. And Allen Robinson breaking free, sure, you had the jump ball that became an interception.
It was almost fail Mary part two.
Yeah, but so, you know, Mike Pereira, Fox Sports rules analyst, and our buddy on the network, they're like, you could argue it either way. So shouldn't the play call as, you know, stay as called? So it should have been a touchdown, but it wasn't, INT. But then Robinson gets hit with, what, about a 12-yard route, shakes off the would-be tackler, and suddenly it's a 50-yard touchdown. It's the good and bad that comes with quarterback points, as it were. But I think it opens up the offense. Mike Furry, or however we want to pronounce his last name, former Lions receiver, has been the Bears receivers coach for the last couple of years, and he talked about how they're going to be able to open up the playbook a bit and more back-shoulder things with Foles' aptitude that maybe throws they wouldn't call for Mitchell in the past. So I think there's an uptick here for the Bears' offense for sure.
That's the issue, and I agree with you. With fantasy purposes, it is better for the Bears. The question is obviously if Foles can stay healthy throughout the season, and also now how will he do as the starter and not maybe necessarily as the savior, the guy in to save the day. But to the point about Trubisky, I thought it was a pretty quick hook, considering that this team was 2-0, that he had won the job in the offseason and in camp and had earned that opportunity. And let's be honest, I'm not sure that Mitchell Trubisky wouldn't have brought the Bears back against the Falcons, considering what we've seen mm-hmm. of the Falcons as of late. So the point where, like, Foles comes in and saves the day, I don't think that Mitchell Trubisky got the true fair shot. Now, if Nagy wanted him to be the starting quarterback from week 1, but just was like, well, we got to at least see something from Trubisky, then that's his own deal to deal with. But I just thought for where they were and what they were, it was not the time to do it. And if they felt that it was the time, then maybe they should have just done it leading into week one.
Well, I'm 100% with you. I think Trubisky, I don't think he was as bad as it gets portrayed, but yeah. I think he's the guy that's become the poster boy for 2020. Beyond all the tired Dak Prescott narrative, is Mitchell Trubisky is become the face of here's your quarterback and all that's wrong. Look, Ryan Pace has to get fired over this, right? He made his bet. The bet didn't turn out. So you've got to move on, I think, in the front office and flip that as well. But when it comes down to Trubisky, I agree with you. I don't think he's not the only problem. We're going to do that, if we're going to do the blame pie, the defense has been grossly ineffective in large stretches. I mean, you watch what happened. The opening drive moved to field goal range and he hooks it 46 yards. The Falcons come straight out and hit Calvin Ridley with a bomb down the right sideline where he's running free. If he doesn't stumble a little bit, he walks into the end zone. Instead, you know, they end up finishing with the Hurst touchdown reception. So I don't think it was the fair fight, as it were, but this is the hand that Trubisky's dealt. Handled it like a professional in all the post game, and certainly in all his press conferences. Curious to see where they go from here. 3-0, the most uneasy 3-0 I think you've ever seen in the NFL.
You know, I'm going to make this point because there isn't a change. Doug Peterson of the Eagles telling a Philly radio station on Monday that pulling Carson Wentz or benching Carson Wentz would be a knee-jerk reaction. I think so many people think that, oh, Jalen Hurts, the second-round pick, would be the guy. But Nate Sudfeld probably would have been the guy to come in and actually take over for Wentz. And so to me, when we talk about quarterback changes, the reason I wanted to bring it up is because – even though that there isn't a change, it's just it's not happening in Philadelphia. There are issues there with Carson Wentz, but realistically, it's not the way that it would play out if people's narrative thought it was going to be Jalen Hurts taking over. I don't think that's the case.
I agree with you. Sudfeld been in the system, performed well in the past when given a little bit of a shot. And for all the hate upon Carson Wentz, and he's been anything but perfect, show me a wide receiver. Outside those tight ends, take Ertz and Goddard off the table. Show me a wide receiver that you trust for anything in that receiving core. Zero. Miles Sanders running behind him and the two tight ends. You got a receiver core that you wouldn't put out at all.
Yeah.
Right? Most of those guys are fourth or fifth string in almost any other set, except maybe the Jets. But the – sorry, sideswipe the Jets when you can.
It's all right.
But when it comes down to it, it's like – you haven't exactly equipped Carson Wentz with success. And that offensive line that was the, all right, they're back together, Johnson's back on the, they haven't been very good either. So add that all up, and it's a recipe for failure. No matter how much we go to the continuity being king here early in 2020, certainly not the case for Doug Peterson and his crew.
And who would have thought that the battle between Jeff Driskel and Brett Rypien would basically be to bide our time to Blake Bortles. Because that's what we've
Bortles.
Got in Denver.
Yes.
That's what we've gotten. That's not going to happen in week four. Vic Fangio saying it's going to be Driskel or Brett Rypien, but you won't see Bortles ready in time to face the Jets on Thursday. But another quarterback situation we're watching. Also keeping our eye what's happening in Washington. Ron Rivera saying, like, all right, at some point, you know, there's got to be a cutoff when it comes to Dwayne Haskins. Maybe Kyle Allen's time could be sooner rather than later in Washington.
Well, we know Kyle Allen was brought over, performed well in Carolina, and as much as there's that sentimentality of wanting to see Alex Smith on the field, let's call it what it is, that's a salary cap and he's a coach in uniform, in my opinion, right? So that you would see Kyle Allen as the next up if the Washington offense doesn't wake up. As for the Broncos, Driskel performed well in comeback mode against the Steelers in week two, but certainly not anything to write home about. He's a little banged up, as is everything in Denver land, right? There's not a lot of health going on there. So they're just limping ahead and hoping that Drew Locke comes back in a couple of weeks, because there's been some reports that it might actually be a longer stay on the injured list for him.
And I'll say this one other thing about Washington. I do think that Antonio Gibson's time, he only got 9 carries against the Browns, but I do think as the season goes on, you're going to see more of him.
Yep.
9, 13, and 9 in the rushing attempts so far. Has, you know, caught a few passes out of the backfield. But I do think once Washington kind of realizes, and I think they know that their season's over, but when you kind of get to a certain point, I think there's going to be more of the Antonio Gibson show. And I think it could even start as soon as next week against Baltimore.
But let the kid play.
Yeah.
They at least gave him a goal line touch, so you got to feel good about that,
yeah.
Right? That long road begins with that first step.
One of the big things, Mike, that I saw, and I'm curious on what you are going to take away from week 3 as well, but the Buccaneers' dilemma is one that you've now got a backfield where Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, and LeSean McCoy are all there, and Ronald Jones maybe gets a little bit of the love against Denver as opposed to what happened in week 2 against Carolina. You have a wide receiving core where now after the Rob Gronkowski talk ends up dominating a lot of the headlines heading into that game against Denver. Now Gronk also starts to see some targets. Mike Evans with the stat line that 2 catches, 2 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And this is, I think, is 3 touchdowns this season from a yard out. He had 1 in week 1 against
right.
the Saints. That maybe officially was 2 yards. But the point being is, for as much as we love the Bucs in the offseason, right now, I don't know who I can trust maybe outside of Tom Brady. Godwin's now got a hamstring injury mm-hmm. after the concussion. Maybe you thought you could rely on him. Mike Evans owners, you're saved by the touchdowns, but you were, you know, this close to having a 2-catch, 1-yard performance with 0 touchdown. You know, like, that's a fine, fine line. And right now the Buccaneers, for as great as Brady was against Denver, fantasy-wise, just not doing it for me right now.
No, that's the problem, is being spread out. And if Gronkowski runs in, what does that mean? O.J. Howard, who was the big guy back in week 1?
Yeah.
Disappearing act, right? Cameron Brate is an afterthought. And that split backfield, you would have thought more. If you backed Leonard Fournette this week in your weekly or daily fantasy leagues, you came up bust. Yeah, I think Tom Brady's it until we get some more games logged here and maybe you see some semblance of consistency. Because the only thing we know from Mike Evans is he's going to dominate the red zone looks. And we know, right? And he boxes out as well as anyone.
Yeah.
But eventually Gronkowski's going to be in the mix for some of those.
Sure.
Right? And he's going to start stealing away. So, yeah, I think Brady's your one true, almost not quite matchup proof, but certainly under consideration.
Yeah. The thing, it's the expectations that we have for Godwin and Evans, I think, are the, like, I still, if I'm drafting them, I'm still playing them. It's just the point that now I don't know if Mike Evans is the top 5 receiver that you thought he was going to be or Chris Godwin was going to be, and you kind of have to have those expectations. Otherwise, you're going to drive yourself up a wall playing them week in and week out. And as I said, the thing with Brady, again, and not to sound like a broken record, but he looks for the weakness in the defense, and that's who he's going to throw to. So if it's on Godwin, if it's on Evans, if it's on Scotty Miller, if it's on Gronk, that's where he's going to attack, and he doesn't necessarily care on who you are. And I think that's evident in Tampa Bay, who, by the way, I think is going to be a really, really, really good football team by the end of this season.
Well, we talked about the defense going back to the season preview, Dan, that was going to be a strength for them, especially those young linebackers as we got going. And sure enough, by week 3, now they're being talked about nationwide. And I think you've got it on both sides of the ball, which means you're not going to need to air it out necessarily as frequently as you go. And with some questions in division, certainly, you're going to have some opportunity there where Tampa, the defense, becomes a weekly consideration for fantasy purposes. But to your point, yeah, they're going to be a good team. Just from a fantasy perspective, going to be frustrating as hell. It's like all the running backs that we've watched under Brady all those years in New England, right? It's
yeah.
the same thing. It's been brought to Tampa, but now you add the wide receivers in too. And the difference is these guys are name wide receivers as opposed to the banjo players outside of Edelman or Welker and Gronkowski that you had all those years.
What did you take away from week three that stood out in your mind for what we saw over those 16 games?
Well, I think, we now know where the separation is for sure. Anything that you were still holding out on, that Texans are going to be a terrible team. Deshaun Watson is not an every week fantasy starter. We talked about that a little bit last week, but it's cemented as you go forward that it's going to be very hard to play anybody out of that lineup, including Deshaun Watson. I think as we looked at the rest of the squad, Atlanta's offense, their defense is so bad, you're going to be able to put up points all over. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Russell Gage gets healthy here in short order. I think Josh Allen is now matchup-proof.
Yeah.
He's going up against the Rams. This is one where it looked like maybe you could have been neutralized. Instead, he goes off and has just a ridiculous day. And what is it, over the last 14 games now, he's 33-3, right? 33 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, I think, was the stat that I saw. So I'll take that away as we go forward. And your Seahawks, I want to have any wide receivers because they are going to get fed. Because, again, the defense is no good.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust me. I am aware.
It's just the – yeah, I needed one more game, right?
Yeah.
Because you're always wondering if there's just – something's going to click, right? Some tweak. And maybe week three is still too early to decide that there's a finite thing. But I think
it's not going to happen.
Yeah. But I think we can go through most of these teams, right? Look at Dallas on the other side. Right, I mean, just absurdly pedestrian would be the kindest way I could talk about their defense. But yeah, we've got more of the fails. We'll go through the week three fails, and I think that'll give you a bigger picture of what I came away with.
I will make one note, and I'm so mad at myself for not saying it last week. But I was going to say, if you do have Todd Gurley, just pick up Brian Hill as a handcuff. And then Hill ends up having his big run. So if I was going to say that, now it doesn't make as big of an impact as if I would have done it the week before. Even though Hill didn't show a lot in the first couple of weeks, he showed out against the Bears, and you just never know about Gurley's knees.
Well, he looks like he's running in mud much of the time.
Yeah.
Like that versatility.
It's
right, because he was dangerous out of the backfield as a receiver, too. That's gone. You're going to see more of Hill. I don't know how much Ito Smith you see, but you'll definitely see more of Hill going forward.
All right, let's get it. Boy, this is absolutely amazing, Mike. It's time for our look back at our, yes, you guessed it.
Even celebrities have fantasies.
Two chicks at the same time, man.
Who better to set your starting lineup than the stars themselves?
Hey, what's going on? It's Nick Lachey.
Hi, this is Daryl Hall.
And this is John Oates.
This is Snoop Deagle Double G.
Hi, this is Bob Eubanks from the Newlywed Game.
They rack 'em, we rank 'em. It's Celebrity Selections.
It is Celebrity Selections time, Mike. And our celebrity for week three, former Olympian, 3-time world gymnastics gold medalist, Alicia Sacramone Quinn. And her lineup for our Celebrity Selections Week 3 event featured Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks going up against the Cowboys, Jonathan Taylor of the Colts against the Jets, and she took Zach Ertz of the Eagles against the Bengals in a game that went into overtime. And Alicia fell 1/10 of a point short of tying Josephine Scriver for the overall lead. Yes. Alicia racked up 65.4 points in week three. Josephine's week one score of 65.5 is still in the top spot. Russell Wilson gave Alicia 38.2. Jonathan Taylor 13.2 as he had 59 yards on the ground and a score and then one catch for 3 yards. And Zach Ertz had 7 for 70. So if Zach Ertz would have just gotten 2 more yards, then Alicia would have been in first place. But instead, she sits in second. Jeff Cesario is in third with 60.7, but oh so close in trying to take over the top spot in our celebrity selections.
Literally a game of inches. Hey, man, had that ball been run in instead of batted out at the one? No, that would have changed the complexion of the game, and it would have been completely different. But it's fun to talk about in those respects. I'm sure you were thrilled when that happened in real time.
You know what? Here's the sad part of it is Russell Wilson took a knee on the last play of the game to lose a yard. So that actually cost Alicia for the top spot. If Dak would have just ran out the clock and then thrown it into the end zone, you wouldn't have had it. But basically, that's what cost Alicia. But still, I think that 65.4 is a very, very good number. Not the best we've seen. Josephine Scriver, the Victoria's Secret and SI swimsuit model, still in first place. But, some really good celebrity selections. And here's a tease for week four, okay? Since we're talking about models, strike a pose. Okay, that's the hint for who our celebrity is going to be in week four.
I'm intrigued. Yeah.
All right, let's get to the predictions that we hit. And, of course, always we will include our, yes, an epic fail here, there, or somewhere. Quickly on the ones that I thought that I hit on, Mike, I'm going to just pat myself on the back, and I probably shouldn't, but I said play Kenny Golladay in his first game back. If you drafted him, you obviously wanted to play him. He did get in the end zone at a decent day for the Lions. I was worried about the Raiders. Derek Carr had a nice, like an okay day against the Patriots, but Darren Waller was completely shut down. Josh Jacobs didn't get into the end zone, and I thought that the Raiders were just not going to be able to carry the momentum from their win against the Saints and carry it into Foxborough. So I'm going to take a win on that. And I did say you're obviously going to play Dalvin Cook, but I thought monster game for Dalvin Cook. Had the most amount of rushing yards in the NFL in week three by far, 181, got into the end zone even though the Vikings lost. So that monster day from Dalvin Cook finally came through. As for my
epic fail.
Yeah, epic fails. If I'm going to take Golladay, I'll take the hit on the Texans because I wasn't big on the Texans, but Randall Cobb and Will Fuller did get into the end zone, and Deshaun Watson did have two touchdown passes. But I want to see them against an average team and see what comes out with the Texans. I'm still not fully on them. And you won the Joe Burrow battle. I said no on Joe Burrow. Granted, he did have an extra 10 minutes, but 313 yards and a couple of scores for the Cincinnati rookie. So that was a big
epic fail.
Epic fail, yes, for me. On to your wins and fails of week three.
All right, where do I got a laundry list because this is a confessional.
let's make it a small load of laundry.
All right, let's start with the negative. I had Phillip Rivers having a day against the Jets because, well, they're the Jets. He was the 25th quarterback of the week, 217 yards and one score. I was bullish on Mitchell Trubisky. He didn't finish the game. 128.
Neither did Rivers, by the way, because they were winning by so much.
Brissett right, so here's Jacoby Brissett. Absolutely. Yeah. But look, I don't get the team QB award for Nick Foles. Maybe you have that in your league setting somewhere. I don't for the purposes of the podcast. I was down on Tom Brady. I had him outside the top 12 for this week. Instead, 297 and 3, giving you almost 24 fantasy points. Jonathan Taylor, I was very bullish on. He finished 23rd with his 59-1, 13 points. Kenyon Drake failed me. David Montgomery failed. You sense a point. And Calvin Ridley was big early, but finished with 5 for 110. That made him the 25th highest scoring wide receiver of the week, to show you how stuff went off the board. What I got right? Jared Goff, ram it all day, ram it, and that'll come back again here in short order. But 321, two touchdowns, the rushing touchdown as well. James Conner, because everybody said he was healthy and ready to go. 109 and 1, gave you 40 yards in the air as well. Darrell Henderson, because they have their identity. They will run the ball. Everybody can. Josh Jacobs, I was down on him figuring, well, the Patriots are smart enough to realize they only have two guys to stop, going back to your Waller and Jacobs comment before. And sure enough, he was 30th among running backs. And then Stephon Diggs. He found the end zone multiple times. A couple of them were called back. But 49 yards and the score, that was good for 31st on the day. So being down on him a little bit, even though his quarterback had himself a day.
I joked on Twitter that I should have started Eric Fisher instead of Darren Waller. It's better to start.
That was a good catch, man.
Yeah, Hey, why not?
Because that wasn't a great throw by Mahomes. That might have been his worst throw of the night.
Those are our wins and our epic fails for week three. All right, let's take a look. Let's keep the W theme going with the wins and now the waiver wire, certain injuries throughout the week. I know that Alan Lazard should have been picked up and should have been rostered in a league. But let's just say that he wasn't. Maybe there's a league where you had just guys taking Davante Adams and MVS, and Lazard was available. And now you have Justin Jefferson possibly available. Again, probably rostered, maybe a late-round pick for someone. They had the two biggest day yardage-wise in week three. How do you look at those wide receivers as going waiver wire-wise? Who do you like better? What do we expect more from in those two?
Yeah, I think when you look at Jefferson, look, that defense right now, there's no solution for Minnesota. And I'm not sure if Danielle Hunter's coming back. Eligible, too, but the reports out of Minnesota were he wasn't coming back soon. And you lost Anthony Barr, like we talked about in the week three preview episode, which means they're going to give up points, which means they're going to keep winging it. Jefferson now 12 catches out of 15 targets, 245 and a touchdown at Houston this next week. So there's an opportunity, right?
Sure.
And he's available in 2/3 of leagues. So definitely you're looking that way. With Lazard, it's a 50-50 ball because I think a lot of folks went MVS, mm-hmm. and Lazard was the man every time, yeah. right? And the efficiency right now between he and Rodgers, 13 of 17. MVS has caught 8 of his 17 targets.
You've been high on Lazard from the get-go, so I will tip your cap there.
Well, I'm going to credit executive producer Lee, the Packer fan.
Yeah.
Because I think he wrote Lazard on his head getting into the season.
All right, Lee, a tip of the cap to you then on the Lazard love. Let's get to the waiver wire because there were some injuries in the National Football League. Pacific Northwest, Seattle, Chris Carson, dirty play from Tristan Hill of the Cowboys, but a grade one knee sprain still could keep him out of the Dolphins game. I would assume that Carlos Hyde is going to be high on the waiver wire in week four.
Available in 85% of leagues. At least from the Yahoo league perspective. Look, Miami's been run over. Going back to Cam Newton and design runs in week one, you're going to be able to make some hay here. So he leads the running back pack. Wilson in San Francisco, even though he really didn't even fall forward, but he got 12 carries, just 15 yards. They got Philadelphia on tap. Miles Gaskin, you're not scoring any touchdowns because Jordan Howard's going to come in and screw you over there. But you're looking at 75% of the snaps and a lot of touches, including five receptions out of the averaging five receptions and 30 yards per game thus far in the season. So those are the three running backs that jump off the board because we know the injuries are really hitting hard because in San Francisco, right, McKinnon's on the list with rib injury now as well as the guys that are already out.
Late night with the Eagles and Niners on Sunday night, but the Eagles likely without Dallas Goedert for a while, so another target of Carson Wentz going down.
Well, one of the key ones, as we've talked about earlier, the only trustworthy options for Carson Wentz thus far. So you go to the wire. I mean, you're looking at Jimmy Graham, virtually unowned despite early presence. He's already got 18 targets in three games, Dan. 10 of 18, 103, three touchdowns. You saw it. He had a pair in the comeback win over the Falcons. Now he's going up against Indianapolis this next week. They're number one against tight ends as of now. Only six catches on 14 targets for 32 yards. But Nick Foles comes in. I think they're gettable. The linebacking core, though, in Indianapolis, very strong. On the other side, you got Mo Alie-Cox, who's been very efficient alongside Phillip Rivers. 10 catches, 11 targets, 181 and 1. It'll be curious to see how quickly Jack Doyle gets reintegrated into the offense. But those are two options that stand out at the tight end position right now. You want to dig a little bit deeper, you can go into, you know, Drew Sample and those two players, injury replacements. But I think these are your target leaders that are still out and available in most leagues.
Yeah, Jack Doyle, unfortunately, you know, there's great things of winning 36-7, and then there's not so great things. But he went, goose egg, targetless in that contest against the Jets. Speaking of the Jets.
Yeah.
Thursday night football. The Broncos come to town. If you thought Dolphins-Jags was bad, we've got Broncos-Jets in week four. You give your analysis, and then I'll give you my rankings for Broncos-Jets. How about
that? Let's see. Jets are getting three. That's where we're at with this one.
All right.
I will try to be in the studio, so I at least have three other monitors that I can look at during this to maybe distract myself. But, man, what do you got? You got Noah Fant and his target count, because whoever's under center is going to be going, hot route, please, take the ball. And then Melvin Gordon, because Phillip Lindsay's not available, which means a lot of run game. The Jets, in theory, were supposed to be a good run defense. We know that is not the case. They're not good in any capacity. But that's it. For your fantasy purposes, maybe KJ Hamler, because he was working primarily second unit, so he got some work with one of these guys, so his target count was up. But I mean, that's bargain basement. I've run 37 daily fantasy leagues out, so I'm gonna throw him in one. Otherwise, no, Dan, just no. And well, I celebrate all 256, damn it, but they're making this one hard.
Well, I'm here to save you, because here are my rankings.
Okay, go ahead.
I've ranked shows I'd rather watch this Thursday night instead of Broncos and Jets. So number one, MLB playoffs. That's going to be your first option. So at least you'll have postseason baseball. There will be no NBA finals that night, and the Stanley Cup final is now over with after the Lightning won Monday night against the Stars. Option number two, Beat Bobby Flay on the Food Network will be on, so there'll be a bunch of episodes that you can watch starting at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. Also, then on Bravo, Real Housewives of New York just wrapped up their reunion. So then what they do is they back end it with Secrets Revealed. Now, you think it's actually better than these shows, but then if it was good enough to be on the show, they would have actually had it in the show and not made it a Secrets Revealed at the end where scenes that you didn't see. But you can still get your fix of what I feel is the best housewife genre episode of all of them. I am the biggest fan of New York. Also on DIY Network, Lucas Condon and the Insane Pools Off the Deep End. It's a season three episode, so you may want to watch that one, Mike. Mama's Family's on Logo.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, so you can. So at 5:30 Pacific,
Ken Berry,
8:30 Eastern, there's an episode of Mama's Family if you'd like, so you can miss the first quarter of Thursday Night Football. And then on Access TV, Tommy Shaw of Styx is the guest and live from Daryl's house.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, so 5 to 6 o'clock our time here in Southern California, 8 to 9 on the East Coast. Those are the shows that you can watch instead of Broncos and Jets on Thursday night.
I am digging that. That is one hell of a list.
And it's accurate, because I even used the guide on the satellite TV.
Well, but that's just it. It's broadcast television, too.
Yeah.
You don't have to even go into the subscriptions, Dan.
Well, all right. Let's wrap this baby up. Our three-point conversion, the things that you need to know entering week four and entering this week. I've got three of them. Number one, buck off. Stay away from the Buccaneers right now. So just buck off. That's my – just wait to see how it plays out. I've got Ronald Jones on one of my teams. I'm waiting to – maybe Leonard Fournette gets dinged up. Who knows about Chris Godwin? Just right now, just hold off on the Bucs. Pick up Packers. I just liked how that sounded.
That's
pick
good.
Up Packers. Pick up Packers. Because they've got the Falcons coming to town on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, heck, who knows? Jamal Williams could get in the end zone twice.
That's going to be a lot of points on a Monday night.
Yeah, yeah. And then number three, do something else on Thursday. I gave you a list of great options, six to be exact, to watch. You could even maybe go for a walk if people would like. But those are my three things you need to know before we meet again.
Got to get your exercise. All right, number one, after last week's episode against the Rams, Josh Allen is now matchup proof. Look, going to keep doing it with his legs, but finding his wideouts. Number two, ram it all day, ram it all night. They have their identity. They're going to run the football behind a mean and lean offensive line. Sure, eventually it's going to be frustrating to decide which of those running backs you go with, but Daryl Henderson is – see, Daryl's house, Daryl Henderson.
Hey.
That, and this is a Dak blame-free zone. okay, across radio and television. You're going to have people bloviating about Dak Prescott and his value relative to anybody who's ever thrown a football in the National Football League. Here, he's a star, and that's it.
That's the three things you need to know from Mike Harmon heading into week four. Hope the waiver wire is kind to you. Hope your roster shapes up a little better. And if you're 0-3, don't worry, it's not over yet. And if you're 3-0, a tip of the cap to you. A tip of the cap to Lee DeLapp, our executive producer, who does an amazing job with this. Thanks to Lee Mayock as well for helping out with our great guests and our celebrities that join the program. You can find Mike Harmon on Twitter, at Swollen Dome. Hear him weeknights on Fox Sports Radio on the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. You can also hear Mike leading into games on Sundays. Eamon LeVar Arrington, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, getting you ready for the action in the NFL. Then you can hear me and George Reister, 5 o'clock Eastern time in Fox Sports Red Zone Radio. Mike, let's do it again in a few days and get you all set for week four. How's it sound?
And we'll recap whatever you watched that wasn't the Broncos and the Jets.
Sounds like a plan. We'll talk to you then. Peace.